Title of the message this morning is A Servant's Mind. Now, many of you have probably heard of a servant's heart. They say, well, they have a heart of a servant. Well, the scripture teaches us to have a servant's heart, but it also teaches us to have a servant's mind. And I've been impressed, and the Lord gave me this message to share, and I'd like to begin in the book of Philippians in the second chapter. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 7 will be our text this morning. We'll just start at verse 1. He said, if there therefore be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So the instruction and encouragement here was to be of one mind. So what mind are we to be of this morning? In marriage, do you know that unity comes about when there is single-mindedness, single purpose of heart? It does not always mean that you're going to think the same thing all the time. But when you are like-minded, there is a common cause and a common purpose that you are in unity about. So the instruction here was be of one mind. And I would this morning that we be of one mind in our homes, that we be of one mind in the congregation, and that we be of one mind in the body of Christ. So he went on to give us some information about what that mind was. He said, let nothing is a big word, isn't it? Nothing. It means it's not mixed. It means it's not a little of something and a little of something else. Nothing is the absence of, the complete absence of. Let nothing, or zero. Zero is a powerful number in mathematics. People say, well, zero is not a big deal. Yes, zero is powerful. Zero can make something null. Zero can make something undefined. Zero is powerful. Zero takes a one, and you put a zero after it, what do you have? It just multiplied it by 10, didn't it? Add two zeros. Anyway, the mathematics goes on. Let nothing be done. Let zero. Now, in your marriages, in the congregation, in the body of Christ, in your relationships with people, he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind, so this is the mind we're talking about now, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of, what? No reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So this is the mind that the Lord wants us to have this morning, that nothing is done through strife or vainglory. In other words, that there is not to be any contention and strife. That does not mean there won't be disagreements. It doesn't mean there won't be misunderstandings. But strife, let there be no quarreling. Let there be no back and forth out of a heart of contention and anger and strife. Let nothing be done through strife or contention. Let nothing or vainglory, nothing with the purpose, nothing in your interaction with people in your life, let nothing be done with the purpose of outdoing the other person. Now that gets close. This is the mind that God wants us to have this morning. That there is nothing that we do for the purpose of outdoing someone else. He said, let nothing be done through vain glory. See, everything that we do should be for the purpose of glorifying who? God. Everything that we do. Do you know how that would change our world today if everybody would take that as their goal? That every word that I speak today, let's not just talk about our world, let's talk about this congregation. Let's talk about in our homes, that every word that I speak, I want it to be glorifying to God. I don't want to be doing or saying something that is self-promoting. You have a difference with your husband and wife, and you have a discussion. Discussions are all right. Quarreling isn't. He said, let nothing be done through vainglory. Something to promote yourself. On the job, people you work with, brothers and sisters, what a wonderful opportunity. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let nothing be done through self-promotion. Trying to put yourself forward. Never to promote one's own reputation. But everything that we do, Lord, I want you to be glorified. I want you to be lifted up. Do you realize that that is a servant's mind today? Because a servant's mind, they are not to be out lifting themselves up. If a servant is out trying to promote themselves, how long do you think they'd have a job as a servant? The job of a servant is to do the bidding and the will of the master or the owner of the house. The servant's job is to please them, not themselves. A servant can say, well, I do it this way. It's like, you might do that way in your home, but this is how I want it done. A servant is not there when you think about maybe some big party, for example, and a servant comes striding in and arrogancy and trying to talk and speak in a way that people would be drawn to them. That's not the job of a servant. The job of the servant is quietly to get things done and prepared that the one that is on the stage would be honored and exalted. You see, the one that they're serving, all of the attention is supposed to go to them. What do you think if King Charles in England, if his servant tried to get in the front of every picture that was being taken? Every time they were to take a picture of the king and queen, there's a servant that just kind of, photobombed them because they were wanting. I don't think they'd have a job very long. Or when it was time for the king to speak, the servant got up there and tried to kind of take the limelight. That's why he said, let nothing be done through vain glory or self-promotion. Because a servant's mind is not that. A servant's mind is to stay out of the limelight. A servant's mind is to serve and do the bidding of the master. Well, Albert Barnes asked a question or made a statement. It was very challenging. He said, who is there that passes a single day without in some respect desires to display himself? By talent, by ability, by wit, by argument, by skill, by dress. And the list goes on. Who is there that goes through the day without some form of a little bit of self-promotion? We are called to have a servant's mind this morning. The scripture in Acts chapter 20 verse 19 says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And I know the heart is the most important, but there is also the scripture speaks about the mind because our thought process is very important. And we are to serve the Lord in lowliness of mind. That comes into spiritual things as well. We are not to be self-promoting spiritually. I believe in teaching the message of the church of God. It's not the church of man, though. That's God's church. And so I can with confidence preach the beauty of the church of God because it's His. But when it becomes about self-promotion, it becomes about us, and we're so great, and I have it, and we have something, that's self-promotion. And Paul himself said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. Because we're not to be self-promoting. We can preach the church. We can teach the beauty of the church. But that glory goes to God. And when you find a ministry or a congregation or a fellowship of people who are exalting and lifting themselves up as the only avenue to Jesus Christ, they have lost the servant's mind. Because the servant's mind is always to lift up the master. Well, serving him with humility of mind, which means even in our interactions with people that are not saved, we don't, Lord, help us not to come across with a self-righteous air. You know, I'm just a little bit better, a little more spiritual. Now, I know sometimes, and I will acknowledge it, sometimes people that are not living right will accuse God's people of being self-righteous. And it's not because it's true, it's because of the condemnation they feel in their own life. So if you get around people that are living differently and acting differently and talking differently and dressing differently and not in all have a different purpose in life, and it's like people get uncomfortable being with that, around that, sometimes it's because they're not comfortable in their own heart with God. But God's people should not be a self-righteous people. I've met people, you get around them, and it takes a few seconds to get that self-righteous smell. You know what I'm talking about? There's just this air about them. It's like, I'm up here. And there's just this, it stinks. Self-righteousness stinks. And it is a smell that should not be on God's people, because we are to have a servant's mind. Living and serving God in humility of mind, in humility of spirit. So how do we view ourselves this morning? How do you view yourself in your marriage? You brothers and sisters, how do you view yourself with your siblings? How do you view yourself in school? How do you view yourself in the body of Christ? We are to have a servant's mind. And I think about a poster I saw many when I was a boy. And I don't even know if they put out Garfield anymore. Does anybody here remember Garfield the cat? I don't even know if that's still a thing or not. But I remember seeing a poster, and there's Garfield, and he's all puffed up in front of the mirror. And he said, "It's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am." And I still remember that. Do you know that's some people's mind? It's like their mind is, you know, I'm not proud, but I'm just better than everybody else. You know, I'm a little more spiritual than everybody. I'm not proud about it, but I'm just, you know, have self-realization. I'm a little more spiritual than everybody else. Well, there's a lot of pride mixed in with that attitude. That's not a servant's mind. The attitude that the people begin to get that they're indispensable. You know, the Lord has a unique call for each and every one of us. And when you don't fill your place in the body, we all suffer. But it is also true that when people have passed on, God has a way of working with what He has, which means life goes on. You know, life goes on. None of us are indispensable. And if we begin to get in our mind as, I'm just pretty important, I think things just fall down around without me. That's not the servant's mind. Because if God has blessed you with a talent or a gift, and God has blessed all of you with talents and gifts this morning, please do not overestimate your worth. Do not become some. The Lord does not want us to be mice in the corner. You know, some people get in their mind humility is just that quiet. Just won't hardly lift their eyes up and won't hardly speak and won't do anything because I'm so humble I can't do anything. Do you realize that's not true humility? Do you know that kind of self-deprecation is a form of pride and arrogance? The Scripture says, it teaches us not to be, let no man beguile you in the book of Colossians 2:18. It says, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility. In other words, that put on humility. Humility does not mean you can't disagree with someone ever. But how do you disagree? Why do you disagree? How are you talking? Why are you talking like that? Why are you saying what you're saying? Why are you thinking what you're thinking? Lord, give us a servant's mind. Mind of a servant. Well, and so then when we begin to examine how we view ourselves, the Lord does not want us to be proud people. You know, I thought it was interesting. Someone I knew that was pretty self-absorbed, and they were pretty caught up in their own ideas and opinions and thinking. It really annoyed them when they got around someone that was very arrogant. They were just annoyed by it. And I thought, you all are the same way. That's why it bothers you, because someone else acts like they're the cat's meow and you think you're the cat's meow. And you get two people like that together, you get two people together that think they're the best, and they're not going to get along real well. Do you know there's nothing wrong, again, with acknowledging if God has blessed you with a gift? That's wonderful. I'm thankful for that. Let us be a recipient of each other's gifts and talents, that we can minister to one another. But it should always, in God's people, He wants us to have an humble mind about it. Not that I'm so great, but a servant's mind, what can I do to serve you? Not that I am better than you. Not that we're exalting ourselves in our opinion of ourselves and how we view ourselves. Too many people value themselves too highly. Does anybody here besides me have an opinion? Okay, there's two of us. No, there's more than that. There's more than that. Derek and I have opinions. But is mine better than yours? Oh, I don't know. But that's the point. That's the point. We all have opinions. And why do we have the opinions we do? Because we are convinced that that's the right way. And there are things that there is a right way. And I would say that's not my just opinion, that's a fact. But then, you know what, there might be some things I think are facts, you'd be like, I disagree with you. Because you're operating from a different set of facts. So we live in a world that is so arrogant about their opinions. We can do it spiritually, people can do it in their marriages, they can do it in the congregation. You can do it in any decision you make on the job. It's like, well, this is the right way. Well, that's your opinion. And so, does that mean we belittle someone else's opinion? No, if we have a servant's mind, it doesn't mean we just cave because, oh, they said it, so I'm not going to. It doesn't mean we can't discuss. It doesn't mean we can't talk about. Because maybe sometimes in talking, it's like, oh, I didn't realize that. You showed me something. I didn't realize that fact. Or I didn't realize that's the way that was. Yeah, I changed. I changed my opinion. But we need to be careful this morning about putting too much stock in our opinions. Because how often do you meet people and it's like, well, they think they're the only ones right? We meet people like that quite frequently. And you don't have to go too far to find it sometimes. It's like it's always their way and they're the only ones right. We need, maybe you think you're right, but your brother or sister may think they're just as right. So what are we going to do about that? The scripture deals with it. Have a servant's mind. Even if you believe you're right, hold it with humility and recognize that your brother or sister or husband or wife or your co-worker, that they have just as much reason maybe that they hold the opinion they do. And so that's why the scripture teaches us to have humility. He went on to say here then, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. In other words, how you view yourself. It doesn't mean you can't have an opinion. It doesn't mean you can't be, if you tend to be someone that likes to talk about things, that's okay. But be careful of the mind. Or you might be one of the silent types. Everybody's wrong but me. I just don't express it. That's just as arrogant. You can be just or more arrogant through your silence as you can by your talking sometimes. And that's why the Lord wants us to examine ourselves and say, Lord, help my mind. How am I really viewing myself when you get in a discussion, in a disagreement? Lord, help my spirit in the way that I'm viewing myself, that it be a servant's mind. So he said, let each esteem other better than themselves. In other words, not esteeming ourselves so highly that we cannot show respect for one another in the differences of opinion and thought and talents and gifts, etc. In verse 4 then, he went on to say, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, a servant, we mentioned, a servant is not to be on display. That's not the reason they're there. This scripture is not talking about being a busybody. They said, well, the scripture says don't look on your own things, but look on the things of others. So I just want to meddle in everybody else's business, and I want to know what's going on and why they're doing that, and I'll communicate that to other people down the communication chain. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Your goals, your plans, your purposes, your motivations. It's not about self-interest. Look not every man on his own things, but look on the things of others. Do you realize how this would transform marriages in our world today? If husbands and wives would both adopt this and say, Lord, this is what I want. Do you realize how it would change relationships between brothers and sisters? It would transform our world if we would start looking more on the needs of other people. And it's not always what they do, but how and what am I doing affecting them? You see, people are so interested in how things affect us. And how we see it and how I feel. But what if we started looking at how do my actions affect them? If I say something to my wife or say something to my daughter, I may think it's right and there's reason for it, but how does it affect them? How does it make them feel? As right as I may be, if I consider how it makes them feel or how they're going to receive it, would that change then how I would respond to my wife and daughter and my family in my home? Do you see that this is what the Lord wants of us, all of us in every relationship? Don't be so focused on yourself, but consider the others. And then he went on to say, also then when he talked about not being self-interest, looking on the things of others, do you know the things that further our agenda? This comes into our priorities and goals as well. We live in such a selfish world. The older I get, the more disgusted. I hope that's not too strong of a word. The more disgusted I am with selfishness. Our world is so self-focused. The pursuit, education, nothing wrong with education in this place. But honor, position, money, the better this and the better that. That's not what life's about. Life is about service. Life is about how we can help people. Life is about the work of God. Life is about our family and our friends, how we can be a blessing to them. Let this mind be in you, a servant's mind. Are we being motivated by self-gain? Are we being motivated by our own agendas and say, well, I like this? Life should not be about our own pleasure. It doesn't mean that there aren't going to be things we enjoy. That's all right in balance. But what motivates us and our purposes should be higher than selfish purposes. Thinking about others around us and how we can be a blessing and help to them. Does selfishness bring happiness? Have you ever gotten your way? I mean, you had a conflict with someone and you got your way. And you won your point. Maybe it was an argument and you won your point. You got it. You know, you got him in the corner and you won your point. How'd it feel? What about you have a disagreement with someone and you got your way? We got it. Accessible beige on the walls. We didn't have to paint it that pink. Thank the Lord. You see, I brought the Lord into it. It was spiritual what color the wall is. That's what people do too sometimes. And you got your way. If we would have painted the walls pink, I wouldn't have been real happy about it. And I hope you wouldn't be either. But do you realize that if it would have caused us all fall out over it? Let's paint the walls pink. Because when you are selfish and push for your way and you get it, and young people take this lesson, you think, well, if I can just get my way, that's what I want. If I can just push mom and dad hard enough and I'll get my way. It doesn't bring happiness. You might get what you want in the end, but it doesn't make you happier. What makes us happier is when we can get along with people and you can go to bed at night and be at peace in your spirit. That's a whole lot happier than have won your point, won the argument, got in your way, got to go when mom and dad said you couldn't, and you worked on them enough and you had contention and finally you got to go and you think, I got my way. That's not going to bring happiness. That's not where the joy of things is. The joy of, the true joy and peace of life comes from having the servant's mind. Consider and think about those things. Well, and then he went on in verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of the Father. And do you realize this morning as we can adopt that into our life, we're going to find the blessings of God. It's going to be so much richer. When we can have the mind of Christ, the scripture says to submit yourself one to another. Younger, submit yourself to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Be clothed with humility. You know what that means? To be covered with it. That's the servant's mind. Inwardly and outwardly. Be clothed with humility. Our world is about self-promotion and their attitudes and what they do and how they talk and how they dress. This covers every area of our life. Be clothed with humility. When I start putting on clothes that and wear things so people are looking at, whoa, wow, that's expensive. Ooh, they're at the tight to fashion. What message does that send? What message is that sin? The scripture, he wants us in our hearts, in our attitudes, in our mind, inwardly and outwardly, to be clothed with humility, not self-promoting, not promoting ourselves in any way, not flaunting oneself. So Jesus left heaven. He left the splendor. He left the glory. And he left all of that to come down to this earth and took on the form of flesh in lowliness and in meekness for the purpose of serving. And so he said, let this mind be in you. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. So that's what the Lord's calling for us this morning. Have a servant's mind. Do you know what it means when it said it made himself of no reputation? In the Greek, it means he emptied himself out. He emptied himself out that he could have a servant's mind. May I challenge you this week when you come up to a place of decision or disagreement or how you're going to do something or what you're going to do, empty yourself out. Young people, children, if you're going to have a discussion with mom and dad, empty yourself out first. Husband and wife in your marriages, if there's something that there's a disagreement about, empty yourself out first. In other words, get a servant's mind before you enter into that discussion. And do you realize that this will begin to bring healing? It will begin to bring reconciliation. It will begin to strengthen relationships that are shaky, but it takes having a servant's mind. Emptying ourselves out like Christ, who made himself of no reputation, and he came to be a servant. I'd like to close in the book of Matthew in the 20th chapter. Verse 25, Jesus called the disciples to himself, and he said, you know the princes of the Gentiles, they exercise dominion over them, and they are great, exercise authority, but he said, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and gave his life as a ransom. So who here would like to be great this morning? Who wants to be chief? Become a servant. That's what Jesus said. If you want to be great, Jenna, if you want to be great, become a servant. There's enough room for all of us. You know, you've heard the expression, too many chiefs. Everybody wanting to be in charge. Jesus said, there's enough room for all of us in this one now. He said, if you want to be chief, he said, you become a servant. You minister. If you want to be great, be a servant. The Lord has called us to have a servant's mind. May the Lord bless you. Amen.